This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You are pretty much on the gayest station in the nation. I'm Shannon Gillies.
I'm Christian Vega.
And I'm Patrick Whalen-Smith.
And today we're talking to Michelle, a Jewish Australian, about what it's like being Jewish in Australia, having a gay son, and, of course, the very important subject of Jewish food.
Well, we did a fair bit of cooking with Michelle, and so the recipes and the audio of...
When
you almost destroyed
her oven, which is always good to do, especially when you're a trained chef. Why not go to people's kitchens and destroy their ovens? More ha ha ha.
So for people who may not know who Michelle is...
Michelle is from the very good show Stand Up Straight.
Which is for straight allies.
Thursday nights at 7 p.m, a really awesome show. It's been running for a little while now.
Yeah, and it's a pretty important show. It's definitely a sort of, it's an olive branch.
It's a different angle towards our community, looking from it sort of, and she feels very much a part. And I was talking with her because I was on the show this Thursday and feeling a part of the LGBTIQ, ABCDEFG, our alphabet soup community, which is beautiful. Being a part of that, she was talking a lot about that, as an ally, which is really important, and having support for your allies as well as they have support for us.
And I believe that we'll be actually talking about her connection to our community, not just that as, you know, a presenter at, you know, the gay station in the nation, but also be hearing about her family and her connection to our community that way.
Which station's that? Oh, ours, yes. Joy 94.9.
Interesting, Patrick. So basically, yeah, head to the Joy website. We're going to put up a whole bunch of audio recipes where Michelle takes me through the important process of Jewish cookery, which she's surprised that she knew anything about. The very important sort of process of why there is no, can I say gluten? It's not gluten, is it? There's no grain flour, really.
Yeah.
And you can hear me make I swear to God, from scratch, an orange and almond cake.
Amazing.
Ooh. I swear to God, from scratch.
So why didn't you bring this in, Shannon? Why did you not bring this in?
We may have eaten it.
I brought in cheesecake and you bring nothing.
You're a better person, Patrick. That's what I'm saying. You're a better person than me.
I really am.
Oh dear, you are on the kitchen table with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
So get ready for an education in Jewish cookery.
But and also, music.
Yeah, and also how to beg for forgiveness from interviewees. Oh, jeez.
So we're going to go to a song now.
We are. We're going to go to Kisses. No, not Kisses. Sorry, my bad. There's an apostrophe. No. It's all about ownership.
A song by Kiss.
Because Kisses make them sound a lot more fluffy, don't they? Kisses.
Kisses with tongues. I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss. As not many people know that both Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley of this band are Jewish.
Amazing.
I'm pretty excited.
You're in the kitchen table on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
That's right. It's everybody's karaoke favourite.
You're on the kitchen table on Joy 94.9 here with Shannon, Christian and Patrick as we singing along to I Was Made for Love.
You're lucky. I wanted to play Love Gun.
From the 50% Jewish Kiss, Amazing... which is kind of relevant because on the kitchen table today, what are we talking about, Shannon?
We are talking about being Jewish in Australia.
Amazing.
And all the sort of like, not just the positives, but a few of the obstacles as well that people face.
There are obstacles?
What? A minority facing obstacles? What are the chances? And talking about a minority, we're currently witnessing a major political movement in the streets of Melbourne from our studio.
Yes. Yay.
So to the... God, thousands of people who are outside the Joy Studios right now walking up to Parliament House for March in March.
We say a hello and a happy Happy cooking in your kitchens later on.
It's where we get. It's where they socialize afterwards to discuss after that one. And also, if you have, please text in if you have any queries and discussions on 0427JOY949 or give us an email at onair@joy.org.au as we talk with Michelle about the struggles that she faced when she decided to marry someone outside of her own faith.
Yeah. Amazing. Should we go to that now?
I think we should.
You're on the kitchen table with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
Joy.
The fact that he can do amazing Jewish things like sound like Barbra Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
I figure that must be a requirement to be Jewish.
Yes, correct, yes. You have to actually take Barbra Streisand enhancement pills so that you actually become more proficient as you...
As more Barbra Streisand? More, like, are you finding yourself becoming more Barbra Streisand? Like, or
no, not me. No, not really. Not as much. I was a big Barbra Streisand fan years ago.
Then your ears were fine, or...?
No, yeah, I grew up. I grew out of that Barbra phase.
I can't believe you grew out of the Barbra Streisand phase. No. What sort of mother of a gay man are you?
I know.
Well, he's not... His taste in music is not traditionally gay in a lot of senses, I don't think. I talk a lot about him. He probably hates the fact that his life is public on the radio.
I like that. So... Stephen's not Jewish. What kind of implication? I mean, because my understanding was there was lots of pressure on Jewish people to stay within the faith.
Always. There always is. And there's pressure. I didn't get that direct pressure, and I never had that sense that if I didn't marry someone Jewish, I'd be kicked out of the family or hated, or my parents would disown me, or anything like that. But you know that your parents want certain things, and there's no doubt that they would have preferred I married somebody Jewish. But the irony is that
Stephen's more Jewish than you.
But sometimes, he will know. Well, he's learned over years. We've been married 27 years. We've been together 28 years. And I've said this before, I was married at 10.
That's right. So young and tender at the age of 27.
Yes. And so I didn't get that pressure from my parents. There were members of my family that swept our relationship under the rug and didn't acknowledge him, and would invite me to things on my own and not Stephen.
Not Stephen.
Yeah. And here's the irony, is that those people that did that have been married and are subsequently divorced. And I actually do believe in karma, but I think it does. What it proved to me that religion was irrelevant. It was the person. So it means that these people that married within the faith and are divorced, it meant that the person wasn't right regardless of the religion. So to me, I don't see the religion as the defining factor. At the time, I was concerned that I was letting a lot of people down, but I don't feel that now.
Is that kind of, would that be the same pressure that some sort of LGBTQI people go through as well?
So I reckon.
It's not just there's not just a gay closet out there, but there's also all these other closets that everyone inhabits.
It's a whole closet. It's a shop of closets.
It's a shop of closets. Yes. What is for humans?
It is. And I was on Spirit Lounge the other week, and Joy actually asked me about whether I had much to do with the GLBTI community growing up and whatever, and whether it was discussed at synagogues or amongst the Jewish community, and it really wasn't. But one of the stories I remembered, I hadn't thought of for a long time, one of the boys I went to school with came out when he was probably 25, 26. And I won't say what profession he was or anything like that because he may listen or whatever, but his parents disowned him. Now, in the Jewish faith, when somebody dies, you sit Shiva, which means you say the prayer for the dead, and you wear black. You tear pieces of your clothing because it symbolises that they have been ripped from your life. So this boy's parents sat Shiva. So to them, he was dead.
Wow.
I know. So that I cannot fathom how a parent could do that over something as trivial as just the fact that they like someone of the same sex. I mean, I have no words, I can't comprehend it. And that's what they did. And this boy lost business, as a result of it.
I feel like I need to explain the Barbara Streisand comments from before. At the very beginning of my interview with Michelle, her husband, the very lovely Stephen Barber, decided to come in and he started singing some Barbara Streisand.
Papa, can you hear me?
That's Patrick, but that's what he did. That's what he did. And so that triggered our Barbara Streisand comments.
We need more hand gestures. I'm doing the hand gestures now because, of course, you can see me on radio. And
the thing I love about Michelle is she is your quintessential Jewish mother.
She really is.
Who will like roll and laugh and dance with you in the studio, but is still able to talk about some really important issues just like she did then, and how, and like things like Jewish disown, like religious disownership of GLBTI kids. And I think that's a really important aspect of her show, I think, is bringing that stuff with humor and a lot of warmth. So
the intensity of that ritual that she was talking about with Shiva, I've only had a quick glimpse of it when I was studying society and culture in year 12. But to do that over your child, sorry, I find that Catholics, they just forget them, whereas Jewish people, like with that, in that case, I don't know about anyone else, that's extreme.
It is.
That goes on for a long time, apparently. I can't remember the exact amount of days, but Shiva goes on for a while now. It's... yeah, it's intense.
I also thought it was quite when she went into how people would ignore Stephen because he was
not Jewish. Mm.
That is pretty intense, and especially her point about how she's got a very solid relationship with him still after so many years.
Mm.
Especially marrying at such a young age and always being a permanent 22. Michelle.
And I think if anyone has met Stephen, they know he's pretty hard to ignore.
He's fantastic.
He is.
You could try to. You generally hear him before you see him.
Just at one quick point that I want to mention as well. It seems a little bit, I don't know from with the Jewish faith, but it seems a little bit odd because your child will be Jewish if the mother is Jewish. So there's still that lineage going through. But... which it doesn't work the same way for the father. So I don't know. I guess it's maybe just that you become super Jewish. I don't know. Is that a thing?
Dun, dun, dun.
Do you get powers? Maybe a cape?
Maybe.
I think
maybe that'll come up in our next discussion. Mm. You are on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9. You're with Shannon, Patrick and Christian.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
You're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9. You're with Shannon, Patrick and Christian. We are listening to more of our discussion with Michelle Barber. Shannon, what's coming up next?
Well, what we're doing is I'm getting lost in Michelle's kitchen. This is all recorded on location where Michelle and I decide we'll just have this like, what would you call it? Like a cooking showdown where I prove just how creative I can be in a kitchen. And Michelle just proves how tolerant she is. So we're cooking and we're talking about Jewish food traditions. And we are actually going way back into the past where we talk about how some of those have developed, especially the one where the Jewish people had to flee Egypt.
Amazing. You're in the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
Go the other way.
Go the other way. Just see what you get. Okay. How many puns can we get into this?
I don't know. I like the sexual innuendo.
Sexual innuendo. Okay, that'll be edited out for sure. What are you doing?
Oh, look, I'm trying to put this on the bottom.
Shannon, what are you making? What are you making, Shannon?
Okay.
From scratch, you're making a...
orange and almond cake.
This fruit cake.
So basically...
it should not be from a packet of any sort. It's
there's no way I was panicking because it was a radio replacement bus at all. I've got this great line about why it's use almond meal instead of
almond is used, and they do it in Passover, so they use almond a lot. And matzah, that's something. Have you heard of matzah?
No.
Matzah is the unleavened bread that the...
that's what it's about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what the talk is... the talk.
It's in the Torah, isn't it?
It's in the Torah, yes. And the Jews, the story is that... God, I hope my history is right, you know. If I'm giving the wrong
information...
it's
really bad for white people. Yeah. If you're not careful, I'll take your land and give you a blanket.
When the Jews were fleeing Egypt, they did not have time. I love that word, fleeing.
I know. It's really good, right? I've got a favourite word, tumble, but that has nothing.
Tumble?
Yeah.
They could tumble from Egypt. It would have been more spectacular, wouldn't it? That's bad.
I'm democracy tumbles from Egypt. What?
So in the fleeing Egypt, they didn't have time for their bread to rise. So the bread they put on their backs, and it didn't rise, and it is what they call matzah nowadays. That's a very, very bad explanation, so please don't quote me on that.
I will.
I might have some in the cupboard. Look at it. It'll be stale, but...
Well, look, if you ever have to flee...
This is from last Passover, which was in April of last year. But this is what matzah looks like.
That's matzah? Oh. Actually, that doesn't look too bad.
See, that's what it is.
It looks like a giant Huntley and Palmer's cream cracker.
Exactly what it looks like. A little bit like a little salada of sorts. And gluten-free, no sugar, no cholesterol, no colouring, no flavouring, no added salt, nothing. So it's basically really crap tasting, but good for you.
Really, it's really healthy. It's like veganism foods.
It is, and it's kosher, yes. So
I have issues with vegans. I need to probably grow a pair and get over it, but...
Vegans?
Vegans.
How could they not eat cheese?
I don't know. Like, I got bribed to do extra work last year because someone gave me 25 grams of truffles wrapped in goat's cheese.
Yum.
That was apparently all it takes to bribe me to do things. Other people were like, seriously, when I used to work for this particular newspaper, I got taken out for a latte by some property developers, and they're like, so what story are you doing? What story? And then I went back, I was like, talk to my chief reporter about it. Because when I was in Malaysia, people would try and bribe me with cars, holidays, come to New Zealand, try and bribe you with coffee. This is ridiculous.
I think we're all getting to learn a lot more about Shannon.
You're also lucky. You're also incredibly lucky.
Yes. Yes, we are.
There's a tone, Patrick.
What tone? I don't hear a tone. I was quite interested with the taking the bread on the back because it wasn't rising and you needed to get away.
I like the fact that they actually thought, you know, when there's a horrible emergency in modern day worlds and stuff, and they take what's important to you, take your family elements, take your materials and stuff. The people, when they were fleeing Egypt, decided, we're going to take our bread.
Well, I think it's because also you have to think about it.
Because bread's delicious.
Well, that, and also they probably wouldn't have had any experience to, well, they couldn't foresee anytime soon that they were going to be able to make more bread and get the ability to get the ingredients. Although, I mean, it's amusing. If that was to happen in modern times, I think that would be quite amusing. It's just that, what am I going to bring? I've got to get out of this place. Cake.
Yeah, and those people did not have Bear Grylls to show them how to survive in the desert, Shannon. I think you should stop judging. Okay.
A life before Bear Grylls. How does anyone know how to cope in an emergency without Bear Grylls?
I don't know. I always thought to drink my own urine was the right thing to do.
Here on a food show, oh my God, I know how to do that. I've never done it, but I think what you're meant to do is...
you're at the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
No, they must know.
If you ever get stranded out in the desert and you need to drink your own urine, now listen to Shannon Gillies.
So basically you store it in a container, let the sunlight kill whatever germs or bacteria are happening in it, and then go for gold.
Okay, we're going to the third part of our conversation now with Michelle Barber.
I can't help it if I know survival skills, Christian.
So speaking of survival skills, what are we talking about next?
Okay, well, Michelle and I are discussing the sort of Israeli foreign policy and the sort of impact that might have had on her being in Australia. And in particular, we're just going to start by talking about the Palestinian prisoner handovers in Israel.
Amazing. You're in the kitchen table here with Patrick, Shannon and Christian on Joy 94.9.
People that have a history of losing members of their family and friends. So is there a mindset of, I'll never give you what you want? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yes, the present prisoners have been released and then Israelis will have more places to live. But each side of this coin still hates the other side. So unless that hatred is gone, then how can it ever get better? Oh, that's a really simplistic view of the whole Middle East situation. So you probably wouldn't put me on, you know,
on Q&A.
On
Q&A about that. No. I don't know. You couldn't make more sense, though, because you did give a very clear answer.
That's how I see it. I know it's, there's a lot more layers to that onion, but that's how I see it.
Oh, because it is really that simple, and you just have... You have to question the people who are doing the peace talks.
Mm.
I mean, it's been escalating violence in Israel since even before I was born.
So
now, after 31 years, look, I'll admit to my age, Michelle.
I'm 20 years older than you, love.
You wouldn't know it.
Not by my behaviour, anyway.
But it's kind of like, how long can violence escalate? You know,
Before it gets too much,
it's ridiculous, really, what's going on. Do you think the Israel-Palestine conflict has an impact on how Jews who are out of the Middle East are treated or viewed? Like, have you ever come across any sort of derogatory talk towards maybe yourself or your family or your community because of this?
Not directly because of the situation in the Middle East. I haven't, because maybe people know that I'm not that politically minded, nor have I had those or encouraged those discussions, because I don't feel that I can hold my own in them. I've had people pick on me for being Jewish. I've chosen not to raise it at times at various places, nor not to tell people I'm Jewish. And I don't know, that, I feel a bit ashamed about that, I suppose.
Oh, really?
In a sense,
oh.
I shouldn't be ashamed of what I am, but maybe it's that subliminal
wanting to protect yourself.
Yeah, and that's...
You're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
I can't believe in this modern day and age, in 2014, 2013, this side of the millennium, that you would have to ever hide what religion you are.
Yeah, it still happens, huh?
Yeah, and the idea that you're doing it... Not because you're ashamed of it, but because it's for your own safety.
Yeah. And it's unusual because I guess as people who would be familiar with Michelle, we know she doesn't really take that much crap. But
yeah.
You know, to still feel that you have to do that for your safety, it must be a pretty intense situation.
Yeah. And because of someone who is such a strong character as Michelle, the people who might not be sort of as confident as she is, I wonder how often they feel they have to hide being Jewish.
Yeah, for sure.
And what sort of person would it be to make somebody feel bad for having a particular religion? Like, I couldn't imagine having to be, like, say, Catholic or Protestant and having to hide that.
Which is a bit of a point, because I guess it ties together why Michelle is presenting her show here on Joy 94.9 as you know, somebody who is an ally but can very much reflect a lot of the experiences of GLBTI people, like fearing for your safety just for who you are.
Yeah, it's kind of how she was mentioning earlier in our first segment about how it's not just the LGBTQI community that has a closet to come out of. It's everyone. Everyone has their own particular closet. Like, you've got people who might be like, I have to admit to myself that I'm not as financially successful as I thought I'd be, or I don't have the house that I thought I would have. And it's just this journey everyone has to go on.
Absolutely. You're in the kitchen table here in Joy 94.9. You're with Patrick, Shannon and Christian. We are talking about what it's like to be Jewish here in Australia. We have to go to some messages now, but we'll be right back. You're in the kitchen table here in Joy 94.9.
Hello there, funny lady Judith Lucy, and of course you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be just plain f***ed in the head if you listened to anything else.
You are on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
Christian, always picking the appropriate IDs.
Oh, you know, I do my best.
If you too want to be on the kitchen table, and I suggest you strongly do, SMS on 0427-JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au.
Or come to my house.
We never say anything awkward at all.
Never.
Never.
Ever.
Uh-huh. So we are a show that explores social and political issues using food as our vehicle, and as such we have a whole bunch of recipes that you can either download, listen to, or just view on our website.
And they're hilarious, by the way.
It's pretty fantastic.
What are some of the highlights on there, Shannon?
So far, I guess my favourite is we have a newsreader, Philip Searle, telling you how to make meat pies for Australia Day on the back with the music bid of Matilda, Waltzing Matilda. Amazing.
Amazing.
And then we also have
Dolly Diamond
talking to you and talking you through the very important process of how to make a pavlova. Amazing. Making all sort of remarks about ladyfinger bananas and all of that.
Check it out. So where can people find these amazing podcasts?
Well, you can find them on...
on the Joy 94.9 website, that's joy.org.au, and click through to our kitchen table page by clicking on the program grid and finding us on Sundays at 1 p.m.
Do it. You'll be better for it.
Absolutely.
Maybe not nutritionally. I mean...
we recommend eating in moderation, and my idea of moderation is slightly skewed, so go for your life.
I want to own a restaurant called Moderation. I really do.
You can't see this, but Shannon's got this glint in her eye, which just it's this naivety mixed with
yeah,
methadone, one of the two,
method one clinic. Anyway,
so you're at the kitchen table here in Joy 94.9 with Shannon, Patrick, and Christian. We are talking to Michelle Barber, and coming up next,
Michelle's talking about what it is like to be Jewish in today's modern day climate.
Amazing. You're in the kitchen table with Patrick, Shannon, and Christian.
You're very religious Jews, so the Hasidic, so the ones that would have, that you might see down in Caulfield or whatever, that have the payers, that like the curls up down the... I'm using my hands, but you can't see that, not good for radio. It's like spiral curl down the temples and then on the boys, and then the black, looks like a pavlova, a black fluffy... fur hat.
Yeah.
So they're the Hasidic. They're the very, very Orthodox Jews. So there's no birth control. So it's not dissimilar to the Catholic Church in that, you know, the children are, and you will often see the women with, you know, two kids on each arm and a pusher and a 15-year-old yeah. girl with the other little kids and, the, you know, that's what it's like. Massive, big family.
Always wearing black as well.
Always, yeah.
No colour.
No. The women would wear some degree of colour. Yeah,
oh, really?
The guys will have that long black... the long black coats.
I was staying in Brooklyn, New York, and we were outside, I think we were calling it Little Israel.
Yeah.
And you'd go into it, it's a real Hasidic like neighborhood, and you wouldn't be looked directly in the eyes at all by the Jewish men or women. And
no, you won't.
Why is that?
Because you're not Jewish. And I,
what do you
I
mean?
Don't want to be...
I mean, I'm the whitest person I know.
It's partly because of how you would be dressed. They would know that if you were Jewish... you would dress a certain way. If you were Hasidic and you were very, very religious and Orthodox, that you would dress a certain way. So they would know by your appearance. They would. And I have issue with that because to me it sends, as a Jewish person, I don't like, it's like it gives the wrong impression of Jews if you don't treat non-Jews in the right way. So if you are being looked at by somebody or not looked at, or is it looked down on or not given the same, you're not on the same level playing field, then I think it sends a lack of tolerance message, or a you're less than us or not as good as us type message. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sort of it's in the kosher food rules as well. I've been reading.
Well done, you. You're an honorary Jew.
Oh, I'm an honorary Jew. Yay. And they talk about when we, you know, try to go to a person's house that you might not be familiar with. Mm. You don't know how kosher their equipment is or their food prep area. And somebody has actually discussed it where they think that's a way to keep the religion separate from other religions. It's a way to keep you and your group and those guys in their group.
It's an interesting mindset. I see if you're keeping it separate, then what you're not doing is spreading the word of your religion. I don't mean to convert people, but how are people going to understand and have empathy, or how our communities... Yeah, and knowledge, how are you going to pass that? Because to me, I see it as education.
Yeah.
If you've got someone that's coming into your home and learning about stuff, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're cooking or you're talking about it or a practice, whether you're lighting the candles on a Friday night, if somebody's never seen that before, they see it, they get involved, they ask questions, it's a conversation, and that therefore is education. So then doesn't that mean that those barriers... This is a bit airy-fairy or new age, whatever, you know what I mean?
I think you're on the right station for airy-fairy.
So to me, I think if you've got that opportunity to share that with people, why wouldn't you do it? Why do people see it as a negative that, you know, somebody else's religion or they don't agree with what you're doing? Or you don't have to agree with everyone.
No. And I think food is a really good way to sort of bring people in.
It's bonding. And there's something lovely about being in a kitchen, not barefoot and pregnant, but just being, just being in a kitchen. It's like, when you think back, years and years ago, no dishwashers or anything, so the women, I know, would be in the kitchen, but it was all that bonding. One's washing, one's drying, one's putting away, you're having a chat. It's a social thing. Kitchens are really that hub of activity and knowledge, and I think that's where a lot of women get the feel for other women and the way they think. And
yeah, it's sort of, you know, when you go to parties, how the parties will always break up if it's in a house.
Yeah.
I've always had, and I'm not saying it's because I'm a girl, but always a bit of time in the kitchen.
Yeah, same. Because it's almost like that's where, there's always going to be someone in the kitchen. And it's also a way to start a conversation. It's like, what are you cooking? Or what's that? Or how do you make that? Or, whatever.
Or can we trade up what we bought? Can we?
Our supermarket party pies for your beautiful homemade
quiches?
Or
I'm going to steal those.
You're going to?
I mean, what? That is hypothetical. I have never stolen other people's food.
Oh, party food's good, though.
That's true. I've never stolen anybody's food at any point, at any time.
Ever.
All the berries.
Of course, Shannon, you've never stolen food ever in your life.
That's right.
We believe you.
We believe.
Glad someone does.
You are at the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9.
Now, I just want to talk about how Michelle discussed how food brings people to the table and it brings people from all different cultures and sort of stuff. And then how you've got these particular food rules which say you can't eat this food here and this food there. And how I thought that was basically a barrier designed to keep groups separated.
Yeah, it's interesting how food has such a potential to bring people together, yet we come up with all this stuff, like all these reasons not to do it.
Yeah, sort of like, I honestly do think, and I think I've discussed it with you guys before, personal story, how I think it would be quite hard to date a vegan.
Mm.
Being the dirty meat eater, dairy lover that I clearly am. Bribe me with cheese, do it.
I've been in a lot of friendship groups with a lot of vegans, and there is a bit of difficulty, but at the same time, I think because I've dealt with a lot of people that you respect each other's food choices and you just go, okay, well, you want that and I want that. And that's the end. Obviously, living with them is going to be a lot more difficult. I did spend a bit of time with some vegan friends where I stayed over their place and I had to eat out all the time because I'm just going, what do I have? Carrots and more carrots.
And some hummus.
And some hummus, yes.
Always.
And some hummus and some almond milk. I can certainly make something out of this, I'm sure.
There's an eye roll.
You could come up with a better recipe with batteries and mustard. It really is.
Can I just say I love my vegan friends?
I do, actually, especially when they cook for me and they come up with these amazing things. You just go, and I feel good.
There is good food and bad food across the whole spectrum.
Of course.
Everybody's got a bad food group, right?
Yeah, right. You can make friends with salad.
I make friends not with a very special salad, which is just with lots of cream. Yeah.
All right, you're at the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9. We've got to go to a song now.
No, the song is
it wasn't
from...
rude. I said cream.
Yeah, so what's this song, Shannon? Okay. You're on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9. You're with Patrick, Shannon and Christian.
Hello, darlings. This is Miriam Margolyes asking you and ordering you to tune in to Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station. It's gorgeous.
Welcome.
You're gorgeous.
You're gorgeous. You're all gorgeous, Radioland people.
Yeah. Even me, Shannon.
Of course. Yay. You're my favourite.
Sucked in.
Wah-wah.
You're here on the kitchen table on Joy 94.9 with Patrick, Shannon and Christian.
We've just been exchanging a few of our favourite Jewish food stories, and I've just told everyone how I've told people that I'm Jewish to get out of eating particular things.
Now, Shannon, this is...
This is terrible.
It is terrible and very clever.
It is very good. It's gotten me out of many horrible situations.
I was going to talk a little bit back about the food rules. For me, I would have thought that a lot of these food rules came into play simply because there was no refrigeration and of hygiene. But I'm... What would you say about that then with that? I mean, when we're talking about the shellfish, you've got the milk mixing with meat, for example, dairy mixing with meat, I would think there's any cross-contamination, it would just scrub the entire food series, which is why I think that kosher existed, at least.
Well, I can't say 100% of this is why kosher existed, but I do think in the earlier days when they were trying to make sure that people stayed healthy and could function in everyday society, that they were like, right, here's a possible risk. Let's make sure people don't cross-contaminate. Because, I mean, even today's modern times, cross-contamination is a major deal and leads to many food poisoning incidents. And of course, food poisoning can lead to death. That's the worst thing possible. So I think that's...
Yeah, that's not a good outcome.
That's not a good outcome. Nobody wants that.
I've died before. Not fun.
All right.
You're the same.
I think today my theme is to try and make it awkward and how much dead air I can pull out of Shannon and Christian.
It's really hard to stump me for conversation.
I'm very glad I've done this a couple of times.
Three times. I'm counting.
Amazing.
Okay, so it's from Harold Scat. And the song is called Kama Old Ifsha. Mm-hmm. Now, Scat stated that he is gay, and the statement came after years of public speculation about Scat's sexual orientation and after a controversial public outing by Israeli film producer and gay activist Igal Ochovsky after Scat performed at a July 2010 memorial to mark the one-year anniversary of an attack on a Tel Aviv gay youth centre.
Amazing. Well, thank you for bringing this sound to our attention, Shannon. I can see what you did there, Shannon. You are amazing.
Oh, Michelle is amazing. Up next, we listen to Michelle talking about what it's like having a gay Jewish son and her family's reaction to that news.
Fantastic. You are on the kitchen table here on Joy 94.9. You're with Patrick, Shannon and Christian. And here is more of the fabulous Michelle.
He came out about 4 years ago nearly, and so there was zero resistance, zero anything. In fact, the first word that my mum said to Nelson was, at least she had an excuse to go to Mardi Gras. So you can imagine this mid-70s woman with some T-shirt maybe that says, I'm with my gay grandson, with an arrow pointing to him marching or something like that. That's kind of what I visualise. But there was never, ever an issue. But they're very close. They have a really unique relationship, Nelson and his grandma. So
it's really cool.
It was never going to be an issue. She could... as was even Stephen and I marrying of different religion. Yes, I knew, and she made it kind of clear that she wished we were the same religion, but it made no difference.
So do you think it's due to the kind of person that your mum is, and thus that's impacted the rest of your whole family?
Absolutely. And my dad was a little bit less accepting in a sense, and he made a reference to it at our wedding, that for me not to forget my Jewish heritage, and said that in front of the congregation and at the reception. So I wasn't overly happy about that because that wasn't the time or the place, but that's the way my father is. And my father has a different attachment to Judaism.
Yeah.
He's a lot more involved, and he seems to be more concerned about what other people think than what perhaps my mum does. My parents didn't have this sort of attitude that you do our way or else. You have to think the way we think or else.
Yeah.
They were a lot more fluid. They kind of changed how we changed, and they were always that soft place to fall.
Oh, that's so cool. And what was your dad's reaction to Nelson?
Being gay or...
Being the product of a non-Jewish...
My father... Nelson didn't come out to my dad for a lot later, and I did not hear my dad say gay in a sentence, or Nelson being gay, or Nelson's gay friends, or anything like that. I never heard those words come out of his mouth for a long, long time. It was almost like it was an assumed word, but it was never actually said. And I think you have to actually say those words. In fact, lots of things. I think you have to say words for people to get the gravity of situations or the true impact of situations and that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sort of... You want him to acknowledge it just through basic... You just want to hear it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, when you say... When someone goes, I love you, you want to hear them say, I love you back.
You don't want to hear them say, yeah, me too. It's kind of... Well, I mean, not a everyone can say those words. And look, and yeah. not everyone.
I mean, they're powerful words, and that's what language is about. It's power. And
correct.
It means a lot to many different people.
Yeah, it does. And I think to be able to say, I have a gay son, or my grandson is gay, simple words, really short and concise words, but if what you're saying to the world is that you have no issue and you're proud of it, and if you don't say the words, I don't think you are validating the worth of the person. That's very moving. That's my mentor's word, Shannon, that's a big word. I think you have to be very frank and honest with the words that you use, because it validates the person.
Yeah.
I think.
For someone who isn't Jewish, like Stephen.
I think it's really important, Michelle's point about the use of the word love, because you do have to hear it every now and then.
Absolutely.
And it does completely validate who you are as a person. And I think it's really great that she and Stephen were so accepting of their son. Like, it wasn't an issue.
Yeah. And speaking of their son, you can hear Nelson on another Joy program. It's all about cross promotion on today's show. It is.
Help a brother out show.
He's currently on Generation Next, which you can hear Mondays at 7 p.m. You are listening to The Kitchen Table here on Joy 94.9. We've got to go to some messages now. You've been with Shannon, Patrick and Christian, and we'll be right back after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're on The Kitchen Table here on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are, indeed. By all means, please SMS on 0427JOY949. Today we have been learning from Michelle Barber about what it's like being Jewish in Australia.
Amazing. We do want to thank the fabulous Michelle for being part of today's show.
And for tolerating me in her kitchen. And I'm so sorry about the oven. So sorry. I do these things. I think I also tried to break a plate as well.
Tried to break a plate?
Well, gravity, physics, and I, we just have this special relationship.
Yes.
If you'd like to hear more of the fabulous Michelle, you can tune into her program, Stand Up Straight, Thursday nights at 7 p.m. It is an awesome show. You should definitely take the time to listen.
And listen to the podcast with me on it. Sorry.
Yes, amazing.
Oh, and if you want to hear about or to improve your Jewish food education, by all means, come and download some recipes from Michelle.
What did you cook?
Okay, you can find out all about matzah. You can all find out about the Jewish food laws and how to make an orange and almond cake from scratch, and not in any way was it came from a pack.
Fabulous.
That did not happen. Because I'm always prepared.
You are always prepared. Unfortunately, you didn't prepare some for us to have now.
The time is
but you already bought cake.
To two. Coming up next... In the next hour is the fabulous Andy with special guest David with Three Chords and the Truth. Always an awesome show to be following the Kitchen Table. We're going to go to some Carly Simon. I feel like it's in the same vein as Three Chords and the Truth.
Vein?
You see what I did there? So funny. Carly Simon does have a connection to the Jewish community.
Yeah, she was born in New York City. Her father was Richard L. Simon, the co-founder of Simon & Schuster, a pianist who often played Chopin and Beethoven at home. And her mother was Andrea Louise Simon, a civil rights activist and singer. Her father was Jewish and her mother was of Swiss, German, Spanish and Afro-Cuban descent.
Amazing. Here's You're So Vain by Carly Simon. You have been on The Kitchen Table with Shannon, Patrick and Christian. We'll catch you next week.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.